Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh.
Nate Collins with us every Wednesday on the show. He knows. He knows that pressure is ratcheting it up. He knows he better turn it around quickly or it's going to get ugly here in Chicago. Joe O, Sammy P, this is Bet Sweats, BetMGM Network. We're going to get to Bears-Lions coming up in a quick moment here. Sam, you said that you saw something during the break that you wanted to make sure that we hit on before we dive into this game.
Almost fell out of my chair on a Friday morning. Okay. So
I could tell.
I saw this from Ben Fox, who does a really good job with Yahoo and shares a lot of information from the books across the country. I don't want to take away from the room, which we're going to do later in the show, but he just put out a list of the most lopsided week two NFL games at BetMGM. Title sponsor. 87% of the money in week number two is on the New England Patriots. Going right back to it.
This is not in the Boston area. This is just 87% of bets nationwide are on New England. That's funny. I don't have an opinion on that game. I have no opinion on that game. I feel like I'm on an island because everything I consume is, and it seemed divided. I've heard many people, maybe it's because I talk to you a lot, that are on the Miami side, but 87%. What did you see? Oh, that's just a Miami fade, right? It's got it.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what I've heard all week. It's just this anti-Miami, anti-Mike McDaniel. Dolphins are going to pack it in. Dolphins will quit. I watched every snap of that Patriots game. They blow. They are a bad football team. And I wish people luck betting New England in week two.
Okay, so I sort of cheated because you freaked me out. Like I mentioned, I was driving around all day, so I didn't see that all the losers you don't want to be aligned with were in on the Commanders yesterday. So they seemed like a public dog. And I was worried that there's a public dog this week because I'm lining up with a lot of dogs, as you'll hear during our breakdowns. I did not see a public dog in the top five. I'll just say that. I didn't take a look at who's really popular. Are they minuses or pluses? They were all minuses, and I kept it moving, and we'll go over it later. So I was happy to see that.
Okay.
Man. 87.
It's all Vrabel.
87.
Vrabel's going to fix everything.
Do it again, huh? I also am not on Miami, but I understand why. I understand why. All right, let's break it down. Yeah, he's worth how many wins? Four and a half, apparently. He won four games last year. They set it at 8.5 for this year. Chicago-Detroit. This is a game that I know that you have a side on, and I'm willing to be convinced, but I am concerned about one thing that I want to talk about. So we've got the Lions. They get blown out. We've got the Bears. They also lose at home Monday night, short week for them. It has been a lot of Lions action this week. It's 4.5 early on, and now we're sitting 6 everywhere. I see a 6.5 popping in the market. Tell us what you think about Lions-Bears.
Well, I really wanted to get to Chicago. Did not bet it yet. Did not pull the trigger. Did not even pick it on any show yet. I want to get there so bad on Chicago plus 6. But then you watch Green Bay last night, and you're thinking, wow, maybe Green Bay's really, really good. And maybe Detroit is just a lot better than Chicago. Like, you're trying to do the transitive property here. Like, you watch Green Bay dominate Detroit, and then you're like, wow, what's wrong with Detroit? But really, the answer might be, oh, Green Bay's better than the market even thought, even though they were one of the top teams on the betting board after the Micah Parsons trade. It was hard to get there on Green Bay. But maybe Green Bay is just that much better than Detroit. And it doesn't mean Detroit's necessarily bad. It's just Green Bay's really good. John Murray, also our friend at the Westgate, told me that some of his sharpest guys laid 4.5 and 5 on Detroit. I heard that and thought, nah, I'm good. I do lean to Chicago at 6. I do, but I did not get there yet. We have to pick 5 in a lot of things that we do. I have a pick 5 that I have to put in the next 12 hours or whatever. I'll probably wedge Chicago +6 in there, but I don't feel great about it. So I thought, look, Ben Johnson, smarter than Dan Campbell, yada, yada, yada. But then I'm just like, I see this push on Detroit. And I don't know. I don't know if I feel like betting my hard-earned money on the Chicago Bears in week 2.
Here's the challenge. See, I find the Detroit side so much more challenging than the Bears. I think we can come up with a reason, or I feel like we know more, even though it's a new coach, new play caller on the Bears side. It's the guy that was in Detroit. So you got revenge. Is it a double revenge? Whatever you want to call it. Like, the revenge on both sides. Like, Detroit wants to beat Ben Johnson after he leaves. Ben Johnson wants to beat his old team and show, like, I'm the reason you're going through these struggles. Like, there's a lot of that. You can argue both sides of that. It doesn't really matter to me. They look so bad. But, like you mentioned, is it a product of the Packers, or is it what the Lions are now? Everything goes through the run with this team. When this offense in Detroit is humming, it starts with the run game. David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs. Those two guys averaged 2.1 yards per carry last week. You've got to have more success. I question what this offense is going to be. I question OC John Morton. And he's asked this week about the run game struggles. I believe it was yesterday. And his quote to the media is, it's an easy fix. An easy fix. Again, not in panic mode. Didn't ask if you're panicking. John Morton sounds like he is. Like, he's repeating, well, it's an easy fix. There's some heat on him this week. If his offense does not put up points against this Bears defense in the cozy confines of Ford Field, like, there's going to be a lot of questions asked. Like, maybe it was all Ben Johnson and even Aaron Glenn. So that's why I think Detroit is so difficult. I understand the idea of a bounce back. We were talking to Dave Richard yesterday from CBS Sports on fantasy angles. He's big on the Lions this week. Now, he is a Bears fan at heart, so keep that in mind. So he's doubted them throughout his entire life. That might be part of it, but he's expecting a bounce back. Going home, awful performance last week, they're buying in. The problem with me is I've questioned Detroit all offseason, so I don't know that it's going to bounce back. But, like, let's not forget, the Bears were supposed to win that game against Minnesota, a team that we have a lot of respect for. Watch out for this injury report. Jalen Johnson seems like he's a go. That's big, going up against Amon-Ra St. Brown. So it looks like Jalen Johnson is good to go. Linebacker T.J. Edwards, he was limited on Thursday. Grady Jarrett, Kyler Gordon did not practice. So they could be missing a couple pieces on the defensive side. It's not Lions for me. I'm not laying 6 with having all these questions on this team. It's Bears or pass. And, you know, man, another argument that you've brought up, Sam, and I think it's fair. Caleb ran a lot more than I was expecting. Like, maybe some of it was running for his life against those Flores blitzes, but he ran more than I thought he would. And that's where the Bears in the past have had some success keeping games tight in recent years against Detroit, because they do struggle against mobile quarterbacks.
If you go back the last 3 years and look at some of these final scores that Chicago's put up against Detroit, 31-30, 31-26. Those are both Lions victories, but close ones. 31-30, 31-26, 23-20. The Bears won a game in Chicago, 28-13. That was like December 2023. The Bears were catching like 3.5, and they won outright. So there have been some close games. Fields and Williams have given them some issues. I must also paint the other side. I mean, there was a 41-10 game in there and a 34-17 game in there, both wins by Detroit. But of those six games, four of them were close, and one of them Chicago won. So those are sort of just like baked into my brain. I really don't know what to do. And if that's the case, you just stay away. You just stay away. You don't have to bet it.
I get it. Chicago might make a contest for me. If I'm looking to get to five, or there's one I've got to get to seven, Chicago might make it for me. If we get...
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is just taking a leap. What if you get to a touchdown? Is it a play then for you? I see a 6.5.
Probably. Yeah, I'd probably bet 7.
You're not happy about it.
No, like I just sound defeated already. Like I know what I'm getting myself into.
Right. Certainly. All right, let's go to the Giants and the Cowboys. We've got another NFC divisional matchup. This one is, let's call it 5.5, because that's the number we have at BetMGM. But the rest of the market isn't there. Most of the market is at 5.5, but I see a 5. I see a 4.5 as well. These are kind of dead numbers. Not the biggest thing in the world until we get to that number of 6. This has been what you could call an overreaction. The look-ahead number was 3. It opened, I believe, momentarily at 3, and it's been all Cowboys. It's a mix of, okay, the Cowboys were not that bad in that loss on Thursday against the Eagles, and, oh, the Giants. You got to get Russ out of there immediately, but Daboll announces that he is going to start this game. Russ, 17 for 37 against a poor Commanders secondary, only 168 yards. Is it going to be Jackson Dart's game? Is this the game where he enters on the road? I think it is certainly possible. The Cowboys, they were hurt by the Lamb drops. I'm not expecting that to happen. A late Sanders red zone fumble. I don't think that's going to happen again. Dak actually looks solid in his first time playing football in quite some time. Dak destroys the Giants. He is 13-2 straight up against them. Those two losses were when he was young. It's when Eli Manning was still under center for the Giants. They have not had a good quarterback since that time. Dak is great against the division. The thing about the Cowboys is they beat up on bad teams. The Giants, right now, they look to be a bad team. They're definitely a bad team with Russell Wilson under center. I understand why this jumped to 6 and we're sitting 5, 5.5 right now. Dallas, both of us like them in Survivor. I'm going to mix it up. I'm not going to do that thing where I go all in on a team like we did with the Denver Broncos last week. But I'm definitely going to have some on Dallas. I'm not taking the Giants. I am a little concerned about mid-game. Maybe Dart enters the equation. They get some spark, and you end up covering the 5.5 or 6, whatever number we end up here. But, yeah, I think Dallas wins, and I would definitely throw Dallas in a moneyline parlay.
The guys that told us to bet the Giants week one are telling us to bet the Giants again in week two. These are the guys who bet numbers, not teams. They bet 6 with the Giants. They also bet 6.5, 7 last week, and it never felt like it had a chance. These guys they're bullish on the Giants. Remember the guys when we first started working together? They were bullish on the Browns, and I think the Browns went 1-15 that year, and they kept betting the Browns every week. This is what happens. Wise guys bet bad teams, and they are on the Giants again. I did it last week. I really don't want to do it again.
I'm not.
So it's a pass.
No chance.
It's a pass. Yeah, I mean, like, look, they could easily cover. But the 6s are gone. Now it's 5.5. MGM 5.5. A lot of books have 4 or a 4.5. Same thing as last week. The good numbers are gone. Now you have to take a bad team at a worse number, and I'm just not going to do it.
The Cowboys defense, without Parsons, Eberflus the coordinator, they did a nice job on A.J. Brown last week. So if they can keep Neighbors in check, this game is not going to be in question. I could see a blowout. I could. Russ is that bad. The Giants are that bad right now. Neighbors is frustrated. He's saying it's no big deal. Don't worry about it. I don't know. I'm not buying what he's trying to sell us there on that one. So there you go. We'll get to Carolina, Arizona coming up. Also, some key AFC matchups. I have an opinion on Seattle, Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, Cincinnati. Of course, we'll get to the Patriots and the Dolphins as well. Joe O, Sammy P, this is Bet Sweats. You've got the BetMGM Network. It is a football Friday. We're getting you set for the weekend. Don't forget, Kelly in Vegas will drop by 11 a.m. Eastern. I'm sure she'll talk about her Broncos and her stress level over the weekend, but I know she's got a lot of college football plays as well. You've got Bet Sweats. This is the BetMGM Network.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.